Hey listeners, we're excited to share with you our 25th episode of Let's Talk Caregiving. Over the past few years, we've had the opportunity to speak with amazing guests and share many conversations related to the caregiving journey. We hope you enjoy this 25th episode, and we look forward to sharing many more with you.
Welcome, everyone, to another edition of SCRC's Let's Talk Caregiving. I'm your host, Roberto Velasquez, President and CEO of SCRC, and I'm here, as always, with my co-host, Marta Rañón, our Executive Vice President.
Hey, Roberto.
Hey, Marta. Today's special guest is Dr. Mindy Baker. Mindy has a PhD in Applied Cognitive Aging Psychology and a Certificate of Gerontology. She is the Director of Education for the George G. Glenner Alzheimer's Family Centers. She has 25 years of gerontology experience in academic and applied settings with a focus on dementia research and care. She enjoys bridging the gap by translating research into practice and by developing curriculum and trainings for frontline caregivers, including our unpaid family caregivers. Welcome, Mindy.
Thank you so much, Roberto and Marta. I really appreciate you inviting me to join you. And as always, Glenner appreciates our partnership with Southern Caregiver Resource Center.
So today, I'm really thrilled that you're here because we're going to talk about a topic that is very frustrating and true and common in caregiving. And it's something that we don't think about until it's actually happened. And it's very prominent when we're dealing with family members who are suffering from some sort of dementia, especially those with Alzheimer's. And that's nutrition and successful mealtime. It could be one of the most frustrating, stressful situations because something so simple as a meal, something so simple as eating, becomes very challenging. And I know many family caregivers contact us or they'll tell us in support groups that mom stopped eating, I can't get her to eat. Dad, he is having trouble maybe even with swallowing. And so nutrition, they're losing weight, they're becoming dehydrated, sometimes even having more problems as it relates to because of that behavior during that time of the day. So I'm glad both Mindy, of course, an expert in this arena, and Martha, expert and former family caregiver, I'd like to share, your comments or thoughts on this topic.
Roberto, I am glad that Mindy's here because, many times talking to caregivers, we do get these stories of frustration and, seeking some sort of methods and, steps that they can take to ameliorate the situation. I remember when I was a caregiver, I had a difficult time convincing the person that I was caring for that it was time to eat. And what I was feeding her was in fact something that she liked, but she was convinced that she didn't like it. And I'm talking about specifically oatmeal. And I remember she would look at this bowl of mush, right? And think, what is this that you're feeding me? I am not gonna eat. And so I can see how that becomes frustrating for family caregivers, because in our minds, that's oatmeal. But in their cognitive decline, that looks like something else. So Mindy, if you can maybe talk to our listeners about some ways to mitigate that, maybe some steps that they can make mealtime a little bit more successful, that would be great.
So yeah, this is definitely a challenge for a lot of folks with dementia and their caregivers. And something I usually start with, no matter what the topic is trying to understand what our loved one with dementia is actually experiencing. Because sometimes what we see, and it's clearly oatmeal, they may not be able to perceive that that's what it is anymore. And so sometimes we need to do a little detective work and try to think about things from their perspective and think about some of the changes that are happening to them, which memory obviously is a big one, but there's other things that can affect how somebody is, whether or not they're willing to eat and when they eat and all of those things. So like with your example, maybe she couldn't see the oatmeal. Maybe it was in a light colored bowl and there wasn't enough contrast. And so sometimes that's a big thing for people. Sometimes it's visual or auditory distractions. It's just too much. It's overwhelming for them. So maybe they're sitting, you know, in the kitchen, but they can hear the TV in the living room, and there's maybe music going on in another room, and they just start to get frustrated because it's too much to try to process. It could be visually. It could be the tablecloth is really busy and there's a whole lot of food on the plate, and they just look at it and they just don't know what to do anymore. And sometimes something as simple as let's put a solid color tablecloth on and put a bright red plate and then put the light colored food on top of it that they can see better will help. I had a gentleman when I was working in long-term care who was a really big guy, and you'd think, okay, he needs, you know, we want to make sure we give him a large enough portion so that will help him. But he would always just get up and start walking around. And so we tried one day, and I just gave him a really small portion to start with. And sure enough, he sat down and he ate all of that. And then we gave him another helping that was small, and he ate that as well. Mm. So sometimes it's a little bit of trial and error, and simplifying is usually always helps, whatever it is. Make it less is more.
Well, I think I appreciate you sharing those stories, Mindy, because I think one of the things that we as caregivers often do is we try to keep things the way they were. And you just gave some examples of making some changes. For example, breakfast, it has to be breakfast. Lunch has to be at a certain time and it has to be lunch. And dinner has to be at a certain time and it has to be dinner. And the truth is that that may not work anymore. I think a good thing to practice is don't be so married to that time frame and that particular type of meal. It could be pretty much any meal at any time, and maybe finding out when they're the hungriest. As a caregiver, you will know that.
Yeah.
With what you just said, Roberto, in talking to caregivers, I know it's difficult to kind of change and modify our ways of doing things. But really getting to know the care receiver is important, but also even exploring other ways to feed. So for example, instead of sitting down to breakfast, lunch, or dinner, like you just said, maybe have some snacks throughout the day that are healthy, you know, maybe break down that meal throughout the day. So you have some fruit, some vegetables, or some other portions, like you were talking about, Mindy, that are smaller throughout the day. Might work. And you just prompted me to think about something, and maybe Mindy, you can give us some pointers here. You know, I know right now with this pandemic, it's really difficult to talk about get togethers and parties and things, but you know, that's also a challenge for caregivers. Those gatherings when grandma is having a difficult time cognitively, sitting down and going through that process. Can you talk a little bit more about that?
So I think this goes back to what Roberto was saying, where sometimes we have to be flexible, and we may want to keep everything exactly the same as we have always traditionally done it, but sometimes you have to stop and think, well, what's actually better for mom or dad or grandma? We think it's great to have everybody there to celebrate, but for the person with dementia, having lots of people around can be just a lot to try to process what's going on, keeping in mind that somebody may have trouble hearing, they may have trouble seeing, and that there, and then you have, you know, six people all of a sudden showing up and there's so much going on. And so What might be a better alternative is to schedule just one or two people to come over and visit at a time. And instead of having that big, huge gathering, have a couple people. Or maybe you have a lot of people and they're in one room, and then you take mom to a quieter room where she can talk to one person by herself, one-on-one, where she doesn't have all the distractions and she can actually enjoy the time together.
Yeah, and Mindy, thank you for sharing that. And I think it's really important also to recognize that eating a meal is often associated with a social time. So often, and I know, Martha, you've shared some of these stories in the past when you were a caregiver, mm-hmm. but often it's not just okay to sometimes put a plate and say, here's your lunch, and then you walk and do other chores and things of that, especially right now when everybody's so isolated, but maybe make those meal times your meal times as well, as the family caregiver, sit down and enjoy the meal and sip your coffee. Maybe you're not eating their meal, but you're eating something a little bit different, but you're sitting there and they're having that conversation, a little bit of a conversation. At least there's some presence and some smiley faces, you know, around, because I know that that does encourage meals and, you know, even telling old stories and so forth.
Yeah, that's a. I have a great example of that. And in addition to my professional experience, I also have personal experience with dementia care. My mom had Parkinson's type dementia, and my sister is the primary caregiver. And she would say, you know, I'm having a hard time getting mom to eat, and you know, kind of again doing some detective work. Well, what's going on, and what's mealtime mm-hmm. look like, and all of these things. And she's, you know, part of the sandwich generation and trying to take care of her kids and do all these things at one time, just as you're describing. And, you know, she would prepare food for mom, put it at the table, and, you know, she'd be running back and forth doing laundry and errands and whatever. And mom could remember that she was supposed to eat, but she couldn't focus, and that her executive mm-hmm. functioning and attention were affected. And she needed that one-on-one connection, like you said, to have a little bit of conversation and just more of okay, this is mealtime. This is to provide that structure and to help her focus. And when she had that, then she would sit there and she would eat pretty well. So sometimes it has nothing to do with the food. Sometimes it's more about the context and who they're joining.
I'm so glad you shared that story, Mindy, because I think a lot of us, or a lot of our listeners who are in that sandwich generation, you try to multitask, right? You're trying to do everything at once, and something so simple as here, just go ahead and eat this meal, can make us even work double because that person might not understand fully what is required of them. And then I think it's a great opportunity for, if you think about it, for some bonding time and even some self-care, right? As busy caregivers, we're all over running ragged, multitasking, but here's a great opportunity to kind of slow down, have a meal with that person that you're caring for, enjoy sometimes, get to know a little bit more about that. I remember with my aunt, I finally realized what you're just talking about, right? And I said, okay, I'm going to just enjoy this time that we're having this meal together. And I learned so much about her, things that I didn't even know about. Her middle name that nobody knew about, that apparently she hated, and then maybe that's why we didn't know about the middle name. You know, it's so funny because I was like, did you know this? No. And it's all because I sat down and kind of just became part of that experience with her. And again, it wasn't a major event. It was just a meal.
Sometimes we see the physical needs a lot quicker than we see those emotional needs of, okay, they need time with me, not just for me to help them get a shower and get food.
But I was about to comment on the physical needs, because while we, you know, like you said, it's sometimes best to focus on the social needs and then make it part of the whole experience. But also, you know, not eating, you're going to lose muscle mass. You're going to maybe dehydrate. And in fact, I read that dehydration is like the most common cause of hospitalization in older adults. So you have to be able to incorporate, even if it's all day, little small portions, not all day, but, you know, the little food stations or little healthy snacks. But how important is it, healthy snacks or healthy meals versus just food, because they're losing so much weight? I mean, is there a balance somewhere, or do you just say scrap it, just eat whatever you want?
I think there is a balance somewhere. I think you know, especially if somebody is losing weight, you know, I'm not a dietitian, but from dietitians that I've talked to, you know, they say, yeah, I think, you know, if they want to have a cookie, go ahead and let them have a cookie. You know, they need fat. Well, then have some ice cream, like make them a milkshake. At that point, you're more concerned about the fact that they're eating and whatever you can do. And then if you can, you know, add some spinach to that smoothie and add some greens in there or some healthy things, then all the better.
I'm so glad you said that, Mindy. I am so glad that you gave us those options, because it is true. I think we get so hung up on the, you know, we cannot give her any sugar. Therefore, we cannot give her any ice cream. And that's what lights her up. And that's what she is craving, right? So maybe there's so many alternatives out there. There are things that are non-dairy or sugar-free, or like you said, maybe we add some spinach into that smoothie, or even some fruit, some fresh fruit. I mean, I know I use that for my kids, and having that option also for an adult. I mean, we could also do that to ourselves, right? If we are kind of on the go, maybe we do make some smoothie with spinach and lots of bananas.
And I think one of the things is really important, and this goes along with what you're talking about, is taste. Something sweet, something rich, something that they might have liked, and kind of give it a little extra oomph. Because I know that sometimes medications actually cause you to have a loss of appetite, or things might taste bland or a little metallic. So, you know, that, of course, you notify your doctor, or if they're losing their appetite based on medications. But it's important to have things that are, I guess, tasty.
Yeah, and with most forms of dementia, smell is affected. And we all know that when we're sick and we can't smell anything, things don't taste right, and then we don't want to eat, right? So like you were saying, ways to make it, you know, add some more spices to it to just try to increase the flavorfulness of the food. And going ahead and giving them some of the things that they're really craving so that they're getting that, then that might make them more likely to eat. Some other things you can do is even essential oils like grapefruit or orange can help to increase appetite. So there are some other little tricks around it.
I think one of the other things that we all should consider when we're engaged in so much caregiving is to make sure that we're taking care of ourselves as caregivers.
Absolutely.
We have to eat well. We have to be balanced. We have to help reduce the stress. You know, there's just, we need to exercise a little bit. We need to go outdoors and get some respite so we can get outdoors. I mean, be in nature, hear the ocean, or take a walk at the park. We need that social connection. We need to make sure we're hydrating and we're not missing our own meals as caregivers, or our own meds for that matter. But one of the things that is really important is, I think, the balance of healthy food. So if you're having snacks that are healthy for your loved one, they're probably healthy for you too. And I think those are the kinds of things to consider as well.
That's right. Yeah, we can't forget about ourselves, right? We always talk about that if the caregiver is sick, then how is the caregiver going to take care of that individual? So,
right. Well, you know, I love this topic. I know we can do so much more and say more about it, but actually that's all the time we have left.
Yeah, and this is why I'm so glad that we're going to be partnering with the Glenner Center to talk about this very topic at a workshop this month. And so the month of April. And so I encourage all of our caregivers who are interested in continuing and kind of maybe going a little bit deeper to check out our webinar. And it is going to be in Spanish, but it is talking about having a successful meal time.
Well, that's all the time we have left for this edition of Let's Talk Caregiving. I want to thank Martha for co-hosting another important, stimulating discussion, and our very special guest, Dr. Mindy Baker. I want to remind our audience that if you are providing support to a loved one, you don't have to do this alone. Asking for help is not a sign of weakness. It's a sign of strength. Just go to our website at scrc.care or call us at 1-800-827-1008. All our programs and services are currently available through secure virtual platforms. Also, if you are a caregiver that resides outside of San Diego County, but in the state of California, you can find out what Caregiver Resource Center serves you by going to caregivercalifornia.org. You can also follow us on Facebook and YouTube for more podcasts and listen to additional programming. I want to remind everyone that SCRC is a nonprofit 501c3 charitable organization that relies on grants and the generous donations of individuals and businesses in our community. To make a tax-deductible donation, please go to scrc.care and click on the Donate tab. And I want to remind everybody, SCRC is here for you.
Caring for those who care for others.
Thank you.